You're listening to Mountain Money. I'm Renee Bodley Miller here with my co-host Doug Wells. And Doug, we've got a special show for everybody today.
We really do. This is Pledge Drive Week, and it's a very important week for the station. We only ask our listeners twice a year to support the station. And you, the listeners, are a very important part of our financial health. I believe it's about a fourth to a third of the station's revenues. Is that correct, Renee?
That comes from our two pledge drives, about 25% of our operating budget. Our goal this pledge drive is to make $125,000 in 4 days.
All right, excellent. And for a long time, these were 5 day, actually they used to be 6 day pledge drives, correct?
Good
they, on Saturday. We used
Did
to
they
go
really?
Through Saturday.
I knew them as 5 day pledge drives. And then when they decided, I think about 2 years ago, to cut it down to four, I know our listeners really appreciated that, as did the staff. And, of course, we couldn't do it if the listeners out there weren't as generous as they are. So thank you to everyone who listens. Thank you to everyone who calls in a donation. And we have some very generous radio supporters in studio with us right now.
Yes, we want to thank the folks at Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough for supporting KPCW. You guys are longtime supporters and in studio with us now. Our attorneys from the firm, Greg Cropper and Bruce Bohm. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Good to be with you.
So I believe I've heard both of your voices in underwriting spots. Tell us about your specialty. And then also, I know Jones Waldo has a very long history in Utah, maybe one of the longest histories of any law firm in Utah.
Yeah, well, that's right, Doug. Jones Waldo is the oldest firm in the state, actually, and goes back to 1875. 1975 would be pretty old, but 1875 is out there, and we were actually handling some miners' wage cases up here in Park City back in the 1875 and late 1800s. We've been around.
That is an old law firm.
Yeah.
But you guys have stayed relevant. Obviously, the law has changed tremendously. You guys are also a large law firm. I know your biggest presence is in Salt Lake City. How many attorneys firm-wide, and then how many attorneys practice up here in Park City as well?
Well, what are we up to now?
I think we're a little over 75 attorneys, all told.
The Salt Lake is the home office. We have an office in St. George, Chicago Metro for a couple of clients out there. And the Park City office has been going on for over 10 years now. It's fluctuated a bit. It's been up to, six, seven lawyers. Had a little group kind of peel off to do their own thing recently, and we're regrouping. And Bruce he's just joined the Park City office, a couple weeks ago?
Yep, that's right.
And a couple more people look to be coming on board with this. So we're sort of, we expanded, contracted, and now we're expanding again.
And Bruce, are you new to the firm or just new to the Park City office?
Both, actually. Yeah, new to the firm and new to the Park City office.
What is your background?
So practiced in California at a large multinational firm before coming back to Utah. Been running with the Jones Waldo guys in Salt Lake for years, and they convinced me to come over, and just really excited to be here. It's honestly like a dream come true. There's a trail about 3 minutes outside my office. I'm a huge outdoor guy, so love to get out there in nature, take a run over my lunch hour. Couldn't be happier to be here.
So when you say running, you mean literally running?
Running,
to the
running.
Jones
yeah,
Waldo.
That's
gotcha.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
it is a dream come true for many of us to move to Park City. I moved here from California as well. A little easier for most professionals to change states. When you're an attorney, there's a big test that you have to take before you can do that. Talk to us about that. Had you already passed the Utah bar several years prior in anticipation maybe of moving to Utah, or did you have to break out the textbooks again?
Yeah, I had to break out the textbooks. California is one of the few states that does not have reciprocity with any other state. So when I came to Utah, yes, it was dusting off the law books after about 7 years of not having studied anything in the law school realm. So it was really dusting off some of those topics that I hadn't looked at for about 7 years.
Well, we're glad you're here with us. And Jones Waldo has been a big supporter of KPCW Radio for a long time. Greg, tell us why you support public radio.
Well, Jones Waldo jumped into corporate sponsorship here, sponsoring one of the public affairs programs as soon as we got the Park City office open. It's just such an important asset this community has, and I've understood that a long time. I mean, I had a radio show, my roommate and I, back in 1981 or two, was it, in the Memorial Building up in the scoring booth.
So in the early days of KPCW, because we went on the air in 1980, so you're
exactly.
Part of the group
I was
launched.
At fundraisers before it was on air, actually. So I go way back with the station. I've understood that for a long time, and you know, we had a rock and roll show that we were playing on X night. I can't remember the night, but we could poke our heads out and listen to our show being played at the old Alamo, and you just felt so connected. Everybody in town was listening to, you know, KPCW even way back then. And then, you know, when I went on this sort of 10-year walkabout, and I was living all over the planet, and I was streaming KPCW to the central Philippines at this windsurfing resort, you know, it was just amazing.
Yeah, you know, I like the fact that you brought up that you felt connected through the radio station. You know, I moved here 12 years ago, and I've shared this story many times with my friends, but KPCW is one of the ways that I learned what it meant to be a Parkite. Mm-hmm. You know, I moved here from the Bay Area. You know, if the light turned green and somebody didn't go, you gave it a polite tap on the horn and nobody thought anything of it. But you just don't do that in Park City. That's not who we are. And I have the radio station in part to thank for indoctrinating me into what it means to live here. And it's a great lifestyle. Greg, you talked about a little walkabout. You actually, you're a sailor, and you sailed. It was a long sailing trip, wasn't it?
Most of it, I was teaching and guiding scuba diving. I was on dive boats.
I wasn't expecting you to say teaching and teaching scuba diving.
We are going to take a quick underwriting break and come back with our first guest. We've got a great author who's on the line, Dave Carvajal, who has a new book out, Hire Smart from the Start. We're going to talk to him about great hiring practices, and we're going to let our friends from Jones Waldo ask some questions, too. We'll be with that right after these messages.
Hi, this is Tom Roney with Berkshire Hathaway Home Services Utah Properties. We are proud supporters of KPCW. We provide up-to-date market information, and our recent market report can be found at bhhsutah.com. Our agents can provide context to these market statistics and can be reached at 649-7171.
This is Matt Mitten, attorney with Jones Waldo, a Park City law firm. Longtime supporters of KPCW, our firm provides estate planning and other personal legal services to residents of Summit County and beyond. We are online at joneswaldo.com and 435-200-0085.
Welcome back to this Pledge Drive edition of Mountain Money here on KPCW Radio. I'm Renee Bodley-Miller here with my co-host Doug Wells and two very special in-studio guests, Greg Cropper with Jones Waldo and his co-worker Bruce Boehm. And we have a thank you already, Greg, to read.
Yes, we do. Thank you to Rory Murphy. A lot of us in town know Rory. His projects are exactly how you do it right in town. His development projects are spot on. And we appreciate how much he cares about how this town builds out. Thanks, Rory.
Thank you very much, Rory Murphy. And anybody who wants to call during the hour and make a pledge, we've got some great premiums, some great thank you gifts. If you make a $50 pledge, we got lots of $25 gift certificates to great area restaurants like the Bridge Cafe, Butcher's Chop House, Cafe Trio, Estee Pizza. We've got up to a $500 pledge. We have a great dining package. That includes two ski passes as well as a $50 gift certificate to River Horse, $25 to Wasatch Squatters, and a $50 Egyptian Theater gift certificate. That's a great premium. And Doug, let's get to our first guest.
Yeah, and the first guest wrote a book, and the book is called Hire Smart from the Start. It's an entrepreneur's guide to building out your team. The author is Dave Carvajal. And Dave, you're on the phone with us. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure for me to be here with you folks.
So Dave, this is a business show. A lot of the folks listening are entrepreneurs or interested in entrepreneurship. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges for all entrepreneurs is building out their team. Talk to us about how that challenge has changed over the last 5 or 6 years as the economy has improved.
Yeah, great question. You know, look, I think that we're living in unprecedented times, right? The pace of innovation is increasing. The rate of, you know, there's a great guy named Peter Diamandis. He's a futurist, a technologist, and he writes a bunch. He's written a couple of books, Bold and Abundant, and he talks about Moore's Law, how computational processing power is increasing by double every 18 months or so, and which, you know, has a very big implication on the cost of computing decreasing by about half every 18 months as well. And so technology is impacting every industry, every single business out there. And, you know, the pace of innovation increasing, the margin for making mistakes has gotten smaller, right? And so I believe that the most important imperative for any leader is this role as, you know, a recruiter and a builder of culture in their own company. I actually believe that to lead is to recruit and to build culture, right? I think it's possible recruiting and building culture are very much a leadership competency. And because they're a leadership competency, that means we can all get better at these things, right? And so, I'm a firm believer that you can make recruiting and culture your strategic competitive advantage.
Yeah, if something occurs to me.
Dave, thanks for that. Sorry, we've got some pledge drive madness happening back here, so we appreciate your patience with us.
Yeah.
One of the things that's happening right here in our legislature, I wanted to ask you about this, is a bill that would ban non-competes in companies. And I'm curious, from your perspective, when it comes to hiring and retaining employees, how important do you think non-competes are?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. There was actually a lawsuit on the West Coast where a number of the big tech companies had gotten together and they made this like secret pact to not poach talent from each other. And, you know, I put this in the same category as that issue, which is really an issue. It's almost like a protectionist issue that, you know, really infringes on the ability for people to have mobility and for there to be liquidity in the labor markets. So really, it's an issue of wage theft, right? So I'm a big fan in, you know, reducing the power of non-compete. It's going to unlock this creative kind of energy and creative thinking that allows, you know, the sharing of ideas and really kind of it makes the market better. It increases competition, and it actually the consumer benefits from all of these kind of practices that really open up a free market system.
But what,
right?
About,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
What about the protection of the company, though? If there is material they don't want walking across the street, you're allowing that employee and you're giving them the time to research something new and something that no one else in the market has. You don't want them walking across the street.
Yeah. You know, and look, you know, look, I'm a big believer in this is all part of the cultural indoctrination process. You should hire the right kind of people, and you should, you know, what you do before, during, and after a hire is made is so important in making sure that that new hire, that your employees have maximum success. And you know, look, I'm a big believer. Part of that has to be some loyalty, and it has to be like some agreement, you know, that they're not going to do that, right? And all of this really has to do with how you you know, make your selection decisions and the values that you choose to celebrate. And what I mean by that is not only, you know, throw them up on a wall and say, these are our values. Rather, what are the values that you're going to use for the hiring of people, for the promotion of people, and the termination of people in your company?
Dave, let's stay on this subject because I think it's an important one. Renee brought up that here in Utah, it's a very business-friendly state. Non-competes, as you know, in California are not enforceable. They are very enforceable here in the state of Utah. In the last legislative session, we had some clarity as far as limiting the scope and the duration of non-competes. Just a couple points. You mentioned the California firms that were really in collusion with one another. They were found guilty of this. And those companies were big-name companies. Apple was one of them. I forget the other two, and I want to be careful just because I said they were found guilty. For sure, Apple was one. But there were big-name companies that we've all heard of. One of the things here in Utah that I really respect from the non-compete evolution was one of the drivers of limiting the duration and maybe even getting rid of non-competes was an entrepreneur named Josh James that started Omniture and is now running Domo. And I was really proud of him because his company, on the surface, would seem to have a lot to lose, Renee, from what you were just saying. They're doing a lot of cutting-edge stuff. He has a lot of employees. He can afford to pay a market salary. And these educated workers could go across the street. And his point was, I want my workers to stay with me because I've created a great company, and this is the best place for them to work. I don't want them staying with me because they're legally required to. And I really applaud that thinking. Dave, today's an unusual day. We have two attorneys as kind of co-hosting, guest co-hosting with us. And I want to ask their thoughts on this whole non-compete area and what their views are.
Yeah, happy to respond to that. Bruce Bohm here. And interestingly enough, I didn't know we were going to discuss this topic, but I actually do a fair amount of employment law, typically representing employers. And so I think it's a delicate balance because you have this, you want to promote the economy and have people be able to move from one employer to the next. But on the other hand, there is the concern that employers have that I speak with on a regular basis that, you know, they want to protect their goodwill. And you might have an employee who's worked for a company for 30 years who has an enormous amount of goodwill build up. And I think that's the tension that the legislature is dealing with right now as we speak, that tension between promoting the economy but also protecting the employer's goodwill and their business interests, which can be significantly damaged. If you have a high-profile employee who is like the national director of marketing take off, I mean, that can decimate a company very quickly. So I think it's an interesting issue that Utah is facing right now and trying to find the right balance, because I do think you have to strike the right balance there. You can't go whole hog one way or the other.
Because if you have that top researcher or that name brand that can walk across the street, that impacts the rest of the employees at your company, doesn't it?
Exactly.
And there's a place for non-disclosure or protecting proprietary information that you can write into an employment agreement not have a non-compete. So there's maybe
That's still right.
A way a company can protect themselves?
Yeah. Well, I wonder about alternatives like, employee equity pools. You know, if they've got an ownership stake in the company, that's sort of more of a carrot than a stick sort of thing.
I'd like to ask our author, Dave Carvajal, what do you think about that idea from Greg Cropper?
Yeah, I love it. You know, look, I agree. I think it absolutely is a fine balance between really what you're trying to do is align personal self-interest together with the company's best interest. And so any... all of the things that you can do that really create alignment between those two things, I'm very much in favor of, right? I think equity participation is a great way to do that, right? I think that what's going to happen is as the, you know, pace of innovation continues to accelerate, these time frames are going to get shorter and shorter, right? Ford, for example, just hired the person that was heading up engineering for autonomous automobiles for Uber. Right. And so, for example, autonomous automobiles is something that's going to happen, you know, in the next 5 years. Right. And to the degree that we can align, not only personal self-interest and the company's best interest, but really what I talk a lot about in the book is about values alignment. Right. Make sure that your process in selecting who you're going to bring onto the team really does a thorough evaluation. And also, creates that alignment between your values as a company.
Dave, thank you for circling us back to your book. You're the author of a book called Hire Smart from the Start, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Finding, Catching, and Keeping the Best Talent for Your Company. I want to go back to some of the material that's in your book. As I mentioned, this is Pledge Drive Week for the station. We're a public station. We're owned by the public. We're supported by the public as well. We have a couple listeners we want to thank for supporting the station.
Yes, we do. A couple more. One is Donna Van Buren. Now, I've known Donna for decades, and she's best friend of this radio station, I think. Thank you so much, Donna. You do so much for this town and for this station. And I have one from my sister-in-law, Kyria Cropper. Thank you, Kyria. She says I'm the best brother-in-law ever, but I think I'm the only one, maybe. No. She's over there at First American today, and thank you much.
Okay, thank you. We want to thank all of our listeners, and we have another thank you.
And here's someone I think Greg knows, Meryl at Jaffel's.
Thank you, honey.
Thanks.
That's my wife. She's building the Jaffel's company. And
she's very busy these days.
Yes.
She's expanding and
growing
her
out.
Business big
Got
time.
Eight pallets going out this week.
Wow. She says, thanks to the community for your support.
And Meryl's also a very hardworking entrepreneur. She's working with a startup, which gets us back to our author, Dave Carvajal, who is the author of Hire Smart from the Start. Dave, you've got a chapter in your book that's called Evangelical Zeal and a SEALS Team Focus. Tell us about that.
Great. You know, I think two of the most important things that we do when we put people through a hiring process, you know, the first is we've got to raise their enthusiasm level. And the reason I say that that's the first task is because we want to make sure that everyone that comes in for an interview with our company, when they leave, they want to come back. If we don't do the job of getting them excited about our mission, about our values, about our company, you know, that's the first challenge, right? Let's get them excited. And I think the best way to do that, and, you know, one of the things I talk about in the book is you really have to have a deep understanding of the person, what their motivations, their dreams, their desires for their own career, for their lives for the next 5-10 years. And if you can do that effectively, then you're able to paint a beautiful picture of how you can help them get from point A, where they are right now, to who they want to become by having an experience at your company, right? So I think the very first kind of mission when you decide that you want to make the right hires is, number one, figure out a way to increase the enthusiasm levels of everyone that comes into your company for an interview. And then secondly, we have to figure out a way to effectively evaluate them, evaluate their technical chops, their skills, their capabilities. And, you know, my whole thing and what I talk about in the book is anything that was ever great was first constructed, was first built on a blueprint, right? And what happens is so many leaders and so many entrepreneurs, if they need to hire an accountant, they'll just jump in and start interviewing accountants. And the problem with that is that they still might hire the best of the lot, but that person might only have 60% of the capabilities that you need for your company, right? So I say, do the work in advance. What you do before, during, and after the hire is made is going to make all the difference in the world in determining, you know, the success of that hire, right? So in advance, you've got to create a blueprint, and I've got a whole kind of process and methodology on how to do that correctly. And those are the two things in terms of zeal and SEAL that we've got to do very effectively. One is raise their enthusiasm levels, and two, build a blueprint so that we know when we hit the target.
And you talk about asking probing questions that get beyond skills and uncover that motivation and the values of that employee or that potential employee. What kind of probing questions?
Great. You know, one of the models that I have in the book is called the Honne model, which comes from the Japanese culture. And essentially, it's like the iceberg model. Right. And the challenge is that most communication is really at the surface level. It's the stuff you see above the waterline. Right. And those include words, actions, behaviors. And what you really want to do is learn to have an interview conversation as opposed to something that feels like an interrogation. Right. And in the interview conversation, you want to really get at the heart of, you know, what they're beliefs are, their values, right? Their intrinsic motivation, right? And because when you understand those things, those are the things that predict success, you know, not only behaviorally, but really create that alignment of values with the organization.
Well, Dave, let's use an example here. We've got a 100-plus-year-old law firm, and none of the attorneys here have been with the firm all of those 100-plus years, but we've got one that's been with the firm 25-plus years. Right, Greg?
Yeah, I joined the firm in 1987, although I did do my 10-year walkabout, so I've got to sort of, I'm bookended
right,
there.
30, that's 30 years, and then we have another that's been with the firm less than a year, right, Bruce?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Less than a month.
So I'm curious, Greg, from your perspective, when the firm was trying to decide whether to make an offer to Bruce, what did that look like? And then, Bruce, I'm curious, from your perspective, what did that courtship look like?
Oh, this will be good.
Yeah, well, you know, the hardest thing in any business, and I think in the Jones Waldo firm, in Jaffel's, my wife's business, it's the people. I mean, you can buy great machines with great warranties, and you know, but finding the right people is the toughest part. And when you find one, then you got to get them in the boat, you know, and that's. So we looked at Bruce and his practice, the guys that he knew beforehand, just loved him anyway. But then, you know, he's got a really successful practice and a skill set that we really need up here. Could use in Salt Lake too, but we need it up here. And, that's the tricky part. When you find someone, you got to get them, you know, whatever you got to do, you got to get them.
And Bruce, what did the process feel like from your perspective?
Well, it was a difficult process in terms of leaving my prior firm where I had a lot of connections and friends. But for me, it just felt like the right decision. Interestingly, it was primarily because of the people. Like I said, I'd run with some of the Jones Waldo partners for several years before coming over, and that was really the determining factor.
The culture.
For me. Yeah, the culture. And I knew I'd be working with people I really loved working with in an environment I really loved working in. And for me, I think that makes all the difference. I mean, it's nice to make money. I think it's more important to really enjoy and love what you do.
Dave Carvajal, anything you want to add with what Brian and Greg just said?
You know, listen, I'm giving the law firm an A++ for their recruiting practices. I think that's exactly right. The gentleman that just spoke said something that resonates very, very strongly. When, you know, in all of the studies ever done on human satisfaction at work, number 5 or number 6 is compensation. But numbers 1, 2, 3, and 4 are always have something to do with the other people they're going to work with, how much they're going to be able to learn and grow, the culture of the organization, and the values of the organization, right? These are the things. These are the magic. Because what, you know, everybody is on a personal journey to become the greatest version of themselves. And it's not about how many dollars I can squeeze out of the job employment offer right now. Rather, is if you can help them see how they're going to become better, the better version of themselves by having an experience with your company over the next 3, 4, 5 years, or 10 years, right? That's the magic. That's where you really create that values alignment and you get the right people that are going to create enterprise value for your organization.
Dave Carvajal, I'm going to put you on the spot. We'd like to keep you on the phone with us up until the top of the hour. Are you available to do that?
Yes.
Wonderful. And I canceled our second guest. They were going to talk about tax scams. That's important. We'll try to get them on another Mountain Money show. But because this is our pledge drive, we wanted to remind our listeners that we're trying to raise money. We need donations to stay on the air. We're a publicly owned radio station. We're the radio station that brings you NPR at the top of the hour and BBC overnight. We bring you the local news hour with Leslie Thatcher on Monday through Friday from 8 to 9, along with Morning Edition, also from NPR. We bring you Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me on Saturdays. We're the home of the Local View with Randy Barton in the afternoon. We do weather reports. We do trail reports. We do the community lost and found. If you listen to any of these programs, please consider making a donation to KPCW. Call 435-649-9004. Again, 649-9004. And we have a lot of premiums that people can get for their donation. Doug Wells, what are some of those?
Yeah, Renee, you know me. I like a good deal. And so I love telling our audience about these Pledge Drive premiums that we give away. We're one of the few public radio stations in the country that do this. And as a frugal person, I love getting something in return. I would support the station either way. But, you know, it's really nice to get a gift certificate to go out to a restaurant. Renee, some of those pledge drives are for $50. I'm sorry, some of the pledge premiums. For a $50 pledge, we have a long list of restaurants that you would get a $25 gift certificate for. They include the Bridge Cafe, Butcher's Chop House, Cafe Trio, Estes Pizza, Five Seeds, Flanagan's, Main Street Eatery, Maxwell's, Collie's Bar and Grill, and others. For an $80 pledge, you get a $60 gift certificate. That's just incredible. And the list goes on and on. For a $500 pledge, you get a pair of summer VIP Park City Institute tickets to a concert. The St. Regis Big Stars Bright Nights, be treated like a sponsor, and they say it's a $400 value.
Yeah.
For a $500 pledge. So the list here goes all the way from $500 support to $50 support. There's something here for everybody. In fact, Renee, you just turned over the page, and we've got others that go at a lower level.
Yep, we're trying to save trees here, so we're printing on both sides of the paper. So on the back side of that paper, we have pledges, a $35 pledge. You can get a $20 gift certificate to the Dodo Restaurant in Salt Lake City. That's right there in Sugar House. That's a nice place to meet your friends down in Salt Lake City if you're meeting them for lunch or dinner and you live up here. A $25 pledge will get you a Backcountry X Hydro Flask Medallion Logo Insulated Pint. 16-ounce little flask there. I don't know what you'd need a flask for. We are going to take a quick underwriting break because we need to thank the sponsors of our station, the people who sponsor us all year round. And then when we come back, I think our friends from Jones Waldo have some thank yous they're going to read. Stay with us, Mountain Money. We'll be right back.
Mountain Money on KPCW is sponsored in part by Columbus Pacific Properties, introducing Apex Residences, 63 ski-through community residences located at Park City's expanded Canyon Village, with clubhouse amenities, heated outdoor pool, and in-house concierge. Information at apexparkcity.com.
This is Travis Vernon, fly fishing coordinator of JANS and longtime supporter of KPCW. Our fly fishing department and guide service is open year-round and offers a full line of flies and product, including brands like Sims, Sage, and Fishpond. We also rent rods, reels, and waders. Available at the flagship store on Park Avenue, 649-4949 or JANS.com.
Joining the Park City Chamber Bureau provides your business with lots of benefits. From business-to-business networking and promotional opportunities to access to our 1,000-plus membership database, becoming a member of the Park City Chamber Bureau is a great investment for your business. Information on joining is online at visitparkcity.com or call us at 649-6100. The Park City Chamber Bureau is a nonprofit, membership-based organization and a proud KPCW supporter.
Welcome back to all our KPCW listeners out there. This is the Mountain Money. I'm Renee Bodley Miller with my co-host Doug Wells. And we have our special guest from Jones Waldo, Greg Cropper and Bruce Bohm, in the studio with us. And you guys have some thank yous you want to read.
Yeah, huge shout out to Dane Tree Zega with Summit Sotheby's Realty. And also a really nice development, Victory Ranch Project. They say thanks to KPCW for being the community voice.
Thanks, you guys.
Yeah, thank you. And I have a big thank you for Jim and Michelle Doylney. We all know Jim and Michelle. I've been doing work for Jim out at New Park for ages, and he's a big supporter of this station. Thanks a lot.
I met Jim Doylney just recently, and we've been exchanging some emails. He came in the station, and what a lovely gentleman and someone who's done a lot for this community.
Certainly, yeah, for a long time.
And also on the phone, we have the author, Dave Carvajal, author of Hire Smart from the Start, The Entrepreneur's Guide to Finding, Catching, and Keeping the Best Talent for Your Company. And Bruce, you said you had a question for Dave.
Yeah, I do. You know, Dave, one of the things I encounter representing employers is that oftentimes they're focusing a lot of their resources on the back end of things when things go badly, you know, in terms of, you know, the fallout from needing to let an employee go or the like. So how do you go about convincing employers to put the money in up front for this type of process to hire the right people?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I see that quite a bit. First and foremost, I think the important exercise is to somehow find a way to convince the person at the top, the CEO, the entrepreneur, that he's really or she really has to prioritize the people function. That, you know, no company, unless they were in the business, no company ever got great because they were amazing at payroll or benefits administration or, you know, employee relations, right? The most strategic parts of human resources are recruiting and culture. And those are front office processes. Too often, you know, most people, nine out of 10 people that you talk to are going to have a negative connotation to the term human resources. And it's precisely because of that. Too often, human resources is thought about as a back office process, you know, to deal with kind of like a problem employee and problems, you know, in the organization. And, you know, yes, that has to be done and that has to be dealt with. But the way to be much more strategic in your people strategy is by focusing on the front end of the process and prioritize your ability to recruit and build culture with the best talent available, right? I'm a firm believer that, you know, Jack Welch borrowed this from Roberto Goizetta, you know, two very well-respected business CEOs that created enormous values for their companies. And they had something called the 20-70-10 rule, which said that, you know, 20% of their workforce was going to rise up into leadership. 70% of the workforce is going to continue to do a great job and moving the company forward. And the bottom 10%, you've got to, you know, cull from the organization every year, right, to make room for new growth at the top, for bringing in the best talent. And what often happens is that, you know, the people at the top are just too passive on their people strategy, right? And they wait entirely too long. They wait for these problems to become, you know, toxic. And then, you know, they call in human resources to clean up the mess.
Well, Dave, let's unwrap some of this. You were talking about Jack Welch and GE. Your book is really designed for entrepreneurs, and the challenge of recruiting and hiring and building a team at a startup, a small company, is very, very different than when you're at a firm like GE, right? So let's talk about that. I think one of the challenges for a lot of entrepreneurs, 20 years ago, I started a company myself, and I am a fantastic individual contributor. I love getting things done. And my biggest awakening as an entrepreneur was it was no longer my job to get things done. I was really good at it. It was my default. I fell back on it. But when things weren't getting done, I had to take off my get it done hat and put on my coaching, mentoring, and as you point out in this book, recruiting hat to find people. Why is it so difficult for individual contributors to make that transition?
Wow, that is a fantastic question, you know, and thank you for asking it. My goodness. You know, look, here's what I will say. And you're exactly right. I mean, you are exactly right. The issue is this. The moment you go from being an individual contributor is the moment that you step into this concept called leadership, right? And you know, I challenge the notion that there are, like, born leaders. Because I think leadership really is about competencies that you can develop and you can get better at it. There are some people that are naturally kind of better at certain things, but I believe that leadership can be learned. And, you know, a lot of, you know, so much about leadership has already been written in all the great books, right, of the past by people much smarter than me. And so what I think this conversation about stepping into leadership is really about understanding the most important imperatives of a leader. Number one, self-assessment, right? That realization that you talked about, understanding your, you know, that's the first imperative of becoming a leader, is understanding who you are, right? I'm a big kind of believer of, I'm a big fan of Stoic philosophy, right? Thousands of years ago, the father of Stoic philosophy, Epictetus, said this: first, say to yourself what you would be, and then do what you have to do, right? And this is why I say, like, as an entrepreneur, the thing that you've got to do is you've got to figure out what the vision is, what the mission is for your company. So I walk people through a 10-3-1 and a 3x3 exercise. 10-3-1, 10 years out, tell me what are the three truths that you want to be to exist about your company, right? Usually it's some kind of a top-line number. It's a contribution margin and some truth about the marketplace. We want to be number one in this market, or we want to be players in these three markets, right? I think it's so important for an entrepreneur to set that vision, to determine the mission. That mission should inspire people because it's going to make something better. It's going to make the world better, some community better, a team better, right? And I think this is the responsibility of anyone stepping into leadership is first self-assessment. Second is to build culture, define that culture. And third is to recruit leaders in that order, right? Because the moment you go from individual contributor, now you've got to figure out how to get a group of people to work together as something that's significantly more valuable than a group of people. And that's a team.
It's a goal of every entrepreneur. We're listening to Dave Carvajal, author of Hire Smart from the Start. And just a reminder, everyone, you're listening to KPCW's Mountain Money. We're in the middle of our pledge drive. And Greg Cropper, I think we've got some thank yous you wanted to read over there.
Yeah, we have a couple.
Yeah, first of all, we have Liz Butler. Thank you, Liz. We know Liz well. She's an attorney, a colleague at our firm. So we appreciate you listening and contributing.
It's Thanks, awesome. Liz.
And we received a call from Rob Sletum, a.k.a. Trout. Just about everybody in town knows Rob, over at Identity Properties. And he says, shout out to me. Not only am I a great attorney, I'm a great golfer, too. Now, that last bit was what we call in the business a misrepresentation. And there are no refunds. But we also, Bruce and I have been talking, and if we can get a little run on the phones.
Oh, good. I like that. They've been quiet.
We want to double our this morning's contribution. That should be fun. I like that. As you guys know, or you may know, Mark Fisher is over in the Swiss Alps. Now, he's normally with us, with the KPCW.
Yes.
And recent years with Rory in here.
Right.
But he's over in some cool place like San Moritz. But he did get a message to me, and if we can get that same little run on the phone, he's authorized a really generous contribution. So let's get these phones ringing. Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much.
Thank you to everyone who just called in, and you must have a great company culture if you've got your own attorneys calling in and supporting you. And please, everyone, you just heard that. They're going to double their donation here. Jones Waldo is, and then Mark Fisher is going to step up as well. So please call 435-649-9004. Doug, this is great news that we're going to get this. The phones are quiet, though. We need to hear them ring.
Yeah, it is awesome news on the corporate side, and we thank Jones Waldo, and we thank the two of you for doing that. We also need our listeners to call in. The number to do so is 435-649-9004. Please consider calling in now. Again, the number is 435-649-9004.
I have a thank you from Elizabeth Thompson. She says, thank you to my favorite radio station.
Elizabeth is our, she works with us in the Jones Waldo Park City.
Outstanding.
Right? We also have one.
Yeah, Bo Peck. Thank you.
B. Peck.
BPEC says, love KPCW.
Known her for decades, back to law school days. She's a Snyderville Basin Planning Commissioner. Lovely person, absolute integrity, wonderful.
And she calls in and does updates after the Planning Commission meetings with Leslie Thatcher. And B does such a great job breaking that down for our listeners. And that's something that this public radio station does really well. We cover the county council meetings, the city council meetings, the planning commission meetings. Can't tell you how many stories we've done on Treasury.
I know, and I was, you know, that is so important. I do a lot of land use and real estate related stuff. Rick's work with following land use issues and land use litigation, the whole news department, and not just land use. You know, I heard a story this morning. It was through the national feed, but it was on KPCW about a deal that I'm, you know, right in the middle of. And this station is amazing, and to me it accomplishes two really important things. You know, on the one end you've got things like the lost and found and who lost what on the bus, and you've got Randy Barton, who remembers the name of that chef at that restaurant that closed in like 1985.
Or gives a report as to who's going into the liquor store below
yes,
us.
Exactly.
One time I got in my car and I heard Randy saying, well, Doug Wells just stopped by the liquor store
with
and
two armfuls,
with a brown
yeah.
bag. Yeah. So yeah, it's uber local. And
super local
and
up to the big, big stuff. You know, whether it's the national feeds or the guests we get on our public affairs programming, this big, big national picture stuff, including, you know, we saw Tom in here this morning.
Tom Kelly.
Yeah, and you know, following his spots, his call-ins from South Korea and listening to his spots about the athletes, and I've never been so connected to the Olympics. I mean, I really felt connected to it all. And so, you know, I think that with the very local stuff, the station helps sort of integrate an individual into the fabric of Park City. And then sort of on the bigger level, it sort of allows Parkites and Park City to be woven into the fabric of the nation and the world. You know, it's just this amazing sort of spectrum of information. And I've never sort of experienced anything quite like this station.
Thank you, Greg. The more you talk, every sentence that comes out of your mouth, I think, there's another promo for the station. There's another promo for the station. We got to clip that, and you'll be hearing your own voice playing back to you over the air. We're not hearing the phones ring. So please, if you would like to make a donation to this public radio station, call 435-649-9004. I can't say it any better than what Greg just said about the value of this radio station. It really helps hold this community together. We are a true community bulletin board for the Park City area. Please call. We've got a lot of great prizes, for lack of a better word. We call them premiums, which is kind of a weird word to use. Basically, if you call in a $75 pledge, you have a choice of many $50 gift certificates to choose from to a lot of fabulous restaurants like Freshie's Lobster. That's pretty cool. Fletcher's, Brass Tag, Baja Cantina, Grub Steak. Thank you to all those restaurants for donating those gift certificates so we can in turn give those to our listeners when they call in a pledge. 649-9004. You've got a thank you, Doug?
I do have a thank you, and you can hear the phone starting to ring in the background, Renee, so thanks for that message. Again, the phone number is 435-649-9004. Susan Asht called in recently, and her message, and it gets it to this connecting the community, and her message is she's calling from the Center of Innovative Cultures, which is a local organization that discusses the same values and cultures that our author this morning is referring to. And her message is her organization, the Center of Innovative Cultures, welcomes participation from all organizations. And she says she's a big fan of Mountain Money and Jones Waldo. Susan, thank you for pledging.
Thank you, Susan. And let's get back to our author, Dave Carvajal. Hire smart from the start. You suggest that companies test to ensure people fit the company's culture, but without being clones. Why is that a danger?
Wow, interesting. You know, one of the mistakes that entrepreneurs do is they'll, you know, hire people that are just like them. Right. And the reason that's a mistake is because oftentimes what's necessary is someone with a complementary set of skills. And, I want to be very careful about the term culture. Without precision and without clarity, generalities kill clarity. Clarity is power. Right. It's not until you actually sit down and define what your values are and what your culture is that you can actually do this effectively. Right. For the most part, CEOs and entrepreneurs, what I find is that they're winging it. And, you know, the reality is that all recruiting and hiring is fundamentally about people relationships. Right. And the data that we have on the most profound of human relationships, marriages, is that many marriages will fail. And I purport that it's because, you know, everybody's just winging it. I'm much more in favor of actually mapping it out on paper and creating a blueprint for the person that you want in your life and in your company to help, you know, move the company forward, right? I think that's the important work of a leader, of an entrepreneur.
So do you have a website where people can find more of your work or link to your book if they'd like to buy it?
Yep, it's www.davecarvajal.com. That's spelled Dave Carvajal, CARVAJAL.com.
And we'll get a link up on our website as well under the Mountain Money. We've got about 2 minutes left. Any other points that you want our listeners to hear, the entrepreneurs out there who may be hiring?
Yeah, this has been a great conversation. You know, what I'll say is this. I think the most important, one of the most important things as an entrepreneur to do is to get your people to actually care, right? And what I find to be the most effective for that is really, as an entrepreneur, what you're trying to do is to create a common purpose, shared values, and clear objectives. This is what helps create enterprise value. This is what's going to help achieve your mission. You know, I'm a firm believer, be a seeker of truth, a lover of wisdom, and driver of the greater purpose, right? And the more you can be a student of leadership, the more prosperity you can help create for your team, for your company, for your community as a whole.
Thank you very much for that. Dave Carvajal, we appreciate your time. If you're ever in Park City, we'd love to have you come by the studio and be a guest again.
Love it. I'm going to take you up on that.
Okay. Thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
So we're going to continue the last few minutes of this show with a pledge drive. Greg, somebody called in and they wanted to talk to you, and we said he's on the air, so we're not sure we can get you. So I wish we could get the phone transferred in, but sadly I don't think we can do that. So
Okay. There's
a message for you. Thanks for being with us this
yeah,
hour,
absolutely.
You guys.
And I was thinking about some of these gifts, and I'm looking at we all know how it works. You know, we just finally get winter hitting, and you might not be able to use this until about late June. But I'm looking at this golf deal over here. It looks like a foursome, 18 holes at either Soldier or Wasatch for $150. That's a good deal it's a twosome.
Yep, it's golf for two for $150.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I was looking at the four down on the bottom.
You're giving everybody a great deal
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I was going to grab all of those. But, you know, it's probably going to, since it just started snowing, it'll probably snow until about, you know, June 15th. And then we'll go play golf again. So it might not seem relevant now, but that's a good deal.
And since the snow's just here, it's a great time to buy a ski pass. And as part of this $500 dining and entertainment package, there are two ski passes to Deer Valley that you have to use before the end of this season. Then again, the $50 River Horse gift certificate, great restaurant on Main Street, $25 Wasatch Squatters gift certificate, $50 to spend at the Egyptian Theater. And the Follies tickets have gone on sale. It did kind of a soft launch, so now's a good time to call the Egyptian and buy your Follies tickets for late April, and also a Bruce Larrabee mug. We've sold a couple of those packages already. There are still 8 left.
Well, and speaking of springtime, it's going to be time to start planting stuff in our backyards pretty soon, and there's also gift certificates to the Park City Nursery. Specifically, I see for a $75 pledge, you get a $50 gift certificate to the Park City Nursery, which, again, is a great deal.
That is a good point. We do have more than restaurant gift certificates here, too. A lot of new businesses this year, Doug, stepped up to give us some of these premiums to pass on to our listeners. Really nice to see the support that we get from the local business community for our pledge drive.
Well, and I want to give a shout-out to you and your team, because it's a lot of work to organize all these, to reach out to businesses and ask for their support. And it is. It's a community effort, and you guys have done your part, and now we're asking our listeners to do their part. Please call in 435-649-9004. We also want to thank our great sponsors for Mountain Money. They include Mountain West Bank, Jan's Mountain Outfitters, Park City Chamber Bureau, Jones, Waldo, Holbrook, and McDonough. Thank you, gentlemen. Columbus Pacific Properties with Viridian and Apex Residences, San Francisco Design, Park City Mountain, and Berkshire Hathaway Home Services, Utah Properties.
And Greg Cropper and Bruce Bohm with Jones Waldo, you've been with us all hour. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. And thanks, everybody out there.
Yeah. And thank you very much.
And you brought in some great challenges and have upped your donation, and we really appreciate that. These businesses who support our public affairs shows and also support this station throughout the year are invaluable to us. We are your community-owned radio station, KPCW. We broadcast in Summit County and Wasatch County only. However, you can also hear us online, kpcw.org. And what is awesome these days are the smart speakers that everyone is getting, and a lot of people got as Christmas presents. When you're at home, just turn to that smart speaker and say, "Alexa, play KPCW." And no matter where you are, if you've got a Wi-Fi connection, you will hear your favorite local radio station. You're nodding your head, Bruce.
Yes, I've done just that, in fact, so I know it works.
It's how most people listen, and sadly, we had a brief outage. Comcast had an outage Saturday morning, and it booted that streaming service for us, and we didn't get back up since until Sunday morning. But now we're back on, I'm happy to say. Well, we also provide NPR News at the top of every hour here on KPCW. They're going to kick in now in about 3 seconds. Thanks for listening to Mountain Money.